It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The origins of the sport of tennis date all the way back to the 12th century in northern France. Much like baseball and football, tennis is a metaphorical sport for a lot of us that's introduced all sorts of terms to the lexicon, as in when you ace something, or when you smash hit something, or game, set, match, when something is over and done with. Well, the folks at City Theater are introducing Pittsburgh to a stage play that illustrates the way the game of tennis and the culture of the sport symbolize so much of what we experience in life. It's called The Last Match, a four-person on-court drama that unfolds during the course of a tennis match between an aging American champion who is a cross between Pete Sampras and Tim Mayotte and a fiery young Russian. I'm joined now by actor Danny Binstock, who plays Tim, the American champion. His TV and film credits include NBC's Blacklist and Codes of Conduct on HBO. Danny Binstock, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
And actor J.D. Taylor, who portrays Sergei, the Russian upstart. He has appeared on the programs Elementary and The Good Wife. J.D. Taylor, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you.
I'm expecting that Russian accent to come out. Gentlemen, talk, if you would, about the challenge of doing this play on a truncated working tennis court and physically portraying a tennis match. I don't think it's a spoiler if I say there's no actual tennis ball flying around. But there's action on that stage, and all sorts of drama plays out, and life stories unfold. How unique is this experience?
Yeah, you know, to avoid litigation, we kept the tennis rackets and tennis balls out of the theater. But we keep the energy of the tennis match going, and it's we're bopping in and out of the match to tell our life story and to see how our life is affecting the match and how the match is affecting our life. But energetically, we really kind of keep that tennis match going and kind of fly through it. And you got to be both a step ahead of it and also present in it, which is the real difficulty of it, of the work.
JD, what makes a tennis court such a great place to have a conversation about life?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Well, a tennis court, one of the things about tennis is that when you're playing tennis, it really feels like you can be really alone out there. You're just one-on-one. You're playing against each other. You don't even necessarily have a coach that you can rely on the side of the court that's telling you what to do as you go through it. So as a metaphor for life, there's a lot of tendency in life to think that you're all alone, that you're going through it by yourself, and that you don't necessarily have people to tell you what to do as you go through it. And so playing a match of tennis is... yeah, like life in that way. You go through it, and you need to be able to find a connection with other people around you and help you through it.
JD, one of the interesting aspects of your character, Sergei's story, is that apparently, like a lot of tennis players or elite athletes, he did not necessarily choose his life. It was chosen for him. And I think that when people are on the outside looking into the tennis player's life or at the tennis player's life, it seems so glamorous.
Sure.
And they're having such a great time, and they've got all this money and all this attention. But there's a downside for a lot of players that your character symbolizes.
Absolutely, yes. Sergei, in the play, he left home in Russia. He left his family and home in Russia at 9 years old, and just was training in tennis around the world for the rest of his life. And it could be something that as a child, maybe you love it and you make that decision, but you're just a child. You don't know the decision you're making. And so Sergei, he really struggles throughout his life with a lot of guilt for leaving his family and a lot of loneliness through it, of living a life committed to a thing that he gets to a point where maybe he doesn't even really enjoy it anymore. But how do you leave a thing that is your entire life and that you've been doing when you haven't given yourself that permission to know even what else you can do?
Danny, your character, if I remember correctly from having seen this play a couple of nights ago, is a six-time Grand Slam champion.
That's right.
For whom winning is never enough. All the trophies and the acclaim cannot satisfy him. He has to keep proving how great he is, essentially to himself, over and over again. How much does that speak to the compulsion that we have as people in any walk of life?
Yeah, totally. As an actor in anything, the idea that we can attain happiness through a thing is a fallacy that we often get in line to try and do that. But once you do it, you need more, and you need more. And actually, what you really need is probably something else. And I think the journey for my character Tim in this play is to find that something else that's you're not going to find it on the tennis court. You're going to find it in the connection with other people and through life and the carrying on of life.
And your character too, Danny, Tim, speaks about how part of the pressure of tennis comes from the fact that you are in this alone on an 11-month tour with no one to sub in for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of us, I'm watching sports all the time. You know, I used to work as a ball boy, so I was around a lot of tennis players and experienced the different personalities.
Yeah, you know.
And I never thought about the fact that, you know, if Marc-Andre Fleury can't go in the nets for the Penguins tonight, you know, somebody else, Matt Murray, will sub in for him. But on tour, you know, there's nobody to take the place. You're out there alone, and if you're hurt and you can't play, that's it. And so you have to do. There's a lot of pressure to keep going, which can drive you maybe a little crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think you know, how do we do that? How do we push ourselves, and yet push ourselves to stay healthy and stay present and competent and ready for whatever's next. You know, and we were talking about the metaphors of tennis. I think another way in which that works is that you're playing with someone else, but you're alone, and you can always play up in tennis. People always say because the ball's going to come back to you, and so however the ball comes back to you from you know the great partner that I have across from me, that's how I'm going to get it back to him. So you have to rise to that occasion, and that. Constantly rising to that occasion is just a lot of pressure.
That having been said, this is obviously a scripted work. You're not necessarily building in improv, but you know things change from night to night. It's live theater, and you're playing off one another. It's a dramatic tennis match. In a state within a stage play, so a match within a match. So how much are you guys, you know, maybe rising to meet the other guy's emotion? You know, maybe JD. You know, maybe Danny gives you a different, inflection on a line.
Sure.
Do you come back then differently? Are you playing off each other's energy that way?
Yeah. It's listening constantly. It's the difference with acting than for competitive sports is in athletic competition. It's really trying to shut each other out. It's really trying to manipulate the worst in the other player. But in acting, it's the exact opposite. We're trying to manipulate the best in the other player, and we're trying to lift each other up. And so there are times when I'll skip a line or I'll forget something and Danny will have my back and pick it up. Or sometimes in certain emotional moments where you get really angry or are overwhelmed in other ways, that energy influences the scene and we really ride that wave and we go with it. And it also depends on the energy of the audience as well. They can be like another character in the play. Sometimes an audience just is really vocal and really into it, and that definitely feeds the match that we're playing for sure.
Like a live sports audience.
Exactly.
And we're down to just a few seconds, but it's a real love-hate kind of thing going on in between the characters, which you can, you know, totally get when you watch tennis being played.
Yeah.
Because you're competing, but you also... That person, you're also looking at that person and realizing that's probably the only person in the world who fully understands how I feel.
Sure.
And not only that, they're coming up behind me, and so I respect what they have ahead of them, but you're not taking it from me just yet.
All right, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if I hadn't read the program, I would not have known that you were not a Russian. Can you give us a couple lines of Sergei before we wrap up?
A couple of lines, all right.
Real quick, we're down to like 10 seconds.
It's not exactly a whizzing sound.
No, it's more of a whoosh, like whoosh right past your ear.
I'd say it's fast and slow all at once.
Sure.
I'd say the segment just whooshed by. The last match is happening at City Theater, and we've been talking with Danny Binstock and J.D. Taylor, the key actors in the play. Gentlemen, thank you for being here.
Thank you
so
much.
I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Until tomorrow, so long.
All right.